mean, maybe that nigga wants to keep going.
I think he wants to destroy Drake.
I think he wants to kill him too. Like, to the point where he can't come back.
Right. I think he wants to destroy him.
I was kind of listening to the battle again, just kind of trying to piece things together. And I think I am still giving the edge to Kendrick. Not like,
it definitely goes to Kendrick.
I'm not saying he's killing him, but I'm just saying, like, after if you listen to this last responses, it sounds like Drake is on the defense now.
No, he's winning. Undoubtedly, he's winning. It's not even a debate whether or not he's winning or not. I'm not saying he's killing Drake, but he's winning.
Welcome to Made You Look. I'm Josh Pierre.
And I'm Geronimo, a.k.a. Need More Hoes, Need More Clothes.
Here we go. How you feeling today, G?
I'm good. It's been a slow day, so I'm ready. I'm prepared. This weekend was cool. I DJed on Cinco de Mayo. It was cool.
Oh.
Looking forward to the weather breaking.
You're in LA, the weather is always breaking. Like, it's always nice. What are you talking about?
Well, it hasn't been nice in LA. It's been kind of chilly, especially for LA standards. And if you know anything about the regularity of, like, the weather in LA, anything past 65 degrees is considered freezing. So people have been walking around in down coats in 55, 60 degree weather, which is strange to me, but
it's about to be 90 in Houston.
Okay, it's not like that here. It's about, I think today was 70, if I'm not mistaken.
That's wild. Hearing LA people talk about weather, it's like it's just not. I'm not gonna say cringy. It's just always like a WTF.
I get it. Hearing LA people talk about weather is like hearing billionaires talk about financial problems.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good analogy. That's perfect. I mean, come on. When we lived in Chicago, 50 degrees is like heaven.
Bruh, people were swimming in Lake Michigan when it was 50 degrees.
People were trying to stay out in 50 degrees. So, like,
yeah, I remember that.
If you're coming from like 15 and shit, you know, that's amazing.
And 15 was even like, oh, it's not that cold.
It's not that bad. It's not negative.
It's not negative today.
Oh, cool.
Nice. It's actually kind of all right. It's like, you know, half colder than freezing temperature. Like, we're good.
That's what's up. Yeah. So I'm glad all the rich people in LA got to wear their furs and get it out for a moment for 1 or 2 days. We're about to go into shorts and be sweating all the fucking time. I think people in New York are just kind of getting into that nice transition of weather. One layers. But speaking of New York, the Met Gala was last night. One of the biggest, I guess the biggest gala cultural points of the year. And the Costume Institute is welcoming its new exhibition for this year, which is Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion. Guests were instructed to dress according to a garden of time. The theme was an illusion of 1962 J.G. Ballard short story. I have not read the short story yet. G, have you read it?
I haven't read it yet.
Okay, well, we're kind of taking I guess we've already seen the looks, but most of it was kind of like a Cinderella-ish, fantasy, whimsical, a lot of florals. I was thinking very springy. I'm thinking like premeditated before I saw the looks. Was thinking very springy, a lot of florals, a lot of like theme, cartoon, Disney meets, I don't know, Harry Potter shit or Lord of the Rings. I've never seen any of those movies. Dope, sorry, but kind of that vibe. G, what was your thoughts when you...
Well, I read a little bit about the notes. It was saying... A big part of the theme was that it was about immense rabble. And I think a lot of it, yeah, like you said, a lot of it was storytelling in terms of like It's more whimsical than anything to me.
Yeah, I think herbaceous. You know, a lot of like herbs and, you know, having to bring in nature mixed in with like a fantasy type of world. And we got that.
Yeah, you see a lot of stems, you see a lot of wood, you see a lot of casting.
Yeah, I think we got a lot of it. I thought it was, yeah. But let's also like set the foundation of this, because I don't know if a lot of the listeners know about the Met Gala. I know a lot of people listening probably just see this like a party for celebrities, which yes, it is. But let's, you know, I guess put things into context for a moment, that this is a major fundraising event for the Costume Institute, which when the museum was acquired by the Met, well, then when the Met and the museum came to an agreement or partnership, part of the agreement was the Costume Institute is pretty much its own curatorial department, and that whatever that they do, they have to take care of it themselves, which is totally different from the rest of the curatorial departments of the Met. So this is a major deal for one of the most important New York cultural, places, whatever you want to call it, in the city and in the world. So last year they raised $22 million. This year, who knows? The ticket is $75,000 a head.
Which is probably paid for by whoever the designer is, right?
Sometimes I got sponsors. I mean, I know one year Lewis Hamilton bought a whole table for himself and a couple of his friends, and they all wore black designers. So I'm not saying everyone gets a free ticket. I think some people are buying tickets and buying tables. I don't know how much of a table is. If $75,000 for a ticket, I think, $200,000 probably be for a table, you know, more or less somewhere in the medium. To your point, you know, design, I'm sure brands pay for tables. Yes, facts. And they invite, like, you know, Tom Brown buys a table and he invites his whole crew who he styled and dressed. And that's his table.
Got it. That makes sense.
But yeah, so there is a foundation and a reason for this. And there is history behind this. So I want to just make that context first. So
I think it's good to give people some context to its inception and some of the objectives that are like the intention behind a lot of the Met Gala and what the fees are funding, which I think
it's good, especially for that department. Costume Institute is very important, even though they're in the basement of the Met, which tells you a lot about how fine art people view fashion. That they don't really consider it as a real art medium. So that duality compared with this gala is very interesting. So, it's good. It's good to kind of throw it in those people's faces a little bit.
I agree.
So you had any favors? You had any like views or points about, have you looked at all the looks yet? Have you gone through them?
I've done some skimming. I can tell you. Wait, question. Top, obviously, Wisdom K, like, was a standout to me.
Dude in all green, all red.
Yeah, the stylist.
Yeah.
That
looked good.
Yeah, it really did. I think I liked Usher's look.
You did.
I did. I think it was appropriate for him.
I hated it.
Really?
I have my own views, but I'm gonna let you go off first.
Sydney Sweeney had a nice look. I liked Omar Apollo.
I liked Omar Apollo's.
FKA Twigs had a nice look.
She did. I really like Demi
Lee Moore. Had a really nice look.
I really like Demi
Nicki Moore. Minaj's look.
Nicki Minaj is cool. The Marnie.
Yeah, that was fire. Yeah. I liked Barry Cogan. What's his name? Kohan?
Collagen. Yeah, he would. That was Collagen? A Burberry. He had a Burberry.
Yeah, that was hard. Burberry was crazy.
I thought that was one of the most on point with the theme.
For sure.
I thought that was one of the best ones. And it wasn't so monochromatic. And it wasn't so black and white. It's what opposed from what a lot of what I saw on the runway. From the men, that is.
For sure. Emma Chamberlain had a decent look. I did like Janelle Monáe's look, too.
She was cool. She always
was like a fairy to me.
Yeah.
Very, like, Tinkerbell, like, fantasy. What's it called? Yeah, like, fantasy.
Like, Tinkerbell, The Hook. You remember that movie, The Hook?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, with Robin Williams, right. I like that. I'm trying to think of who else that I liked. Oh, what's her name? Kana Chaser, Chasing Horse? It was an H&M dress, too.
I would never wear H&M to the men. I don't care how much they pay me.
It was fire, though. Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it.
It was like a pure blue type of...
I saw Ed Sheeran looking like an extra from Dumb and Dumber, though.
Let me see.
He had the whole Dumb and Dumber fucking suit.
Really?
Dog.
I mean, any redheads, they gonna struggle. Especially dudes.
He was struggling. Struggling, bro. Struggling. Okay. It's a cool dress.
It is, right? Yeah, it is a cool dress.
It is, though. It is, though. Somebody, Stephon Diggs had a H&M suit on too. Shout out Texans, but I'm sorry.
Donald Glover had a terrible suit on too. It looked terrible. Like something out of Anchorman. It was terrible.
I don't know why
that was
he's
bad.
Done so well through the years. I don't know what made him do that. It didn't go. It didn't go.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
I didn't like it at all. Like I said, I didn't really like Usher's suit. It looked like something that was more of a Zorro vibe. You know who I think
Nastasha Poonawala was. Her shit was crazy. The Margiela shit. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That shit was crazy.
Well, honestly, I was about to say something else, but to that point, since you brought up Margiela, John Galliano would probably be my first designer choice to pick for this area, which obviously he did Bad Bunnies, which was one of my favorites. He looked like a cool conquistador.
Yeah, the basting technique looked crazy.
Zendaya, as per usual, always gets what she needs to get done, and he did that as well. I can't remember who else's fit he did, but John Galliano would have definitely been my first choice for a designer, especially for this theme. And all his looks were just really well done, because they're all, well, most of it kind of came from the theme of this past Aquatour show from 24, which I don't think anyone had. If you haven't looked at it, I think it was one of the best shows we've seen in the past few years. So that made sense. But also, Coleman Domingo. We haven't touched on all his fits from the red carpet season, from the award shows. But he's been coming through. And he came through last night again with the Willy Shababare. I might be butchering his name. And I'm sorry. Willy Shababare? Shababaria? If I mess up your name, I apologize. But anyways, he was a very prominent designer on the red carpet. But Coleman Domingo killed his look with the extra exaggerated flower, obviously the volume, and then with the cape. I thought it was really dope.
Oh, you're talking about Morgan Spector?
No.
Coleman Domingo. Yeah, Morgan Spector was wearing really Shababaria. Shabaria? It's probably Shabaria.
I think it's something like that. We got to do better, though. But, yeah, Coleman Domingo, I thought he was one of my favorites from the menswear. And I think I got to go through the womenswear again. It was so many, but I really like Demi Moore's look.
Did you see the sketch that Shabaria made for the look? It looks even better than the if he would have made the silhouette more like that, it would have been even better.
Nah, I didn't see that one.
Yeah, I'll show it to you.
But yeah, Demi Moore. I thought Lana Del Rey looked like one of those weird things from the show Yellow Jackets. That was creeping me out, because if you watch Yellow Jackets, you know what I'm talking about. So she was kind of creeping me out. Also, another thing, like, Kim Kardashian just needs to get back with Kanye, because all her shit on the red carpet just been whacked.
No, don't tell her nothing. Just let her crash and burn slowly.
Bro, that her shit has been, what was she doing last night? She just looked really raggedy, dog.
A slow death is great for her, fashion-wise.
God, it's just dying, man. It's looking real rough for her right now.
She's struggling, and I love that for her. I love that struggle for you.
Man, is she struggling. Like, the styling is just... Huh? How you go from that? You look at the passage with Kanye, you go from that to this. You see the difference.
And no, because it's like it humanizes her, you know? Because for so long, she's been like revered as like almost like not even a regular person. And it kind of just humanizes her to the point where it's like, yeah, your fashion is terrible too. You have fashion bad moments.
Bad. She's having a lot of bad moments.
Yeah.
Especially on the red carpet. I don't know if she's just used to wearing Skims all the time, and she's lost all type of styling points in her head to where she's just lazy and she's just really dependent on others, but it's showing.
Well, since she got rid of those enhancements, it's like there's nothing left to just accentuate anymore. Now it's like you gotta really dig in that bag and really like put together some silhouettes. Like you gotta put some things together.
Yeah, because there's a lot of other formidable people that's just got more style.
Absolutely.
Like, she's got more style. Like, I think the ball model look for, what's the singer's name? The South African artist. Make me sweat.
Wizkid?
Nah. Make me black with water.
Oh, Tyler,
yeah. I like
that. Yeah, yeah. Did you see Oliver Rout? Did you see Rothstein cut it? He was cutting it himself. You saw that?
Yeah, I like that dress.
He looked like Milli Vanilli, by the way.
I don't know why he got them braids, bro.
Bro was freaky.
He needs to let the braids go.
Freaky ass boy, you a 6'9" god. Freaky boy.
really was funny. He did. with the face as the backdrop on his body too. Wow.
Yeah. I like that look though. That was cool.
I did.
The cast. That was cool.
Tyler looked good. I like that.
Yeah, that was cool.
She was cool. I'm kind of going off the dome. I don't have all the looks in front of me, but those were some of my favorites off the top of the head.
Oh, Jeremy Strong, he was in Lotto Piana.
Oh, yeah, Jeremy Strong looked dope.
That was fire.
AKA Kendall Roy, man, he looked good. The eldest son.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was swaggy. It was subtle, but it was subtle. Also elegant, too, though.
And that's another point. I like what the men were, even though I didn't like the fact there wasn't a lot of color and prints with this theme, I did like how the men were changing up the game with the neckwear. And I think that was because of the theme. But I saw a lot of brooches for the neckwear. I saw like chains. I just saw like people using florals with it. I like that. I like that a lot. And to your point, Jeremy Strong did something really interesting with the bow. Those were really cool.
Cool. The feather like on the actual lapel, like it was like part of the lapel. That was dope. That was fire.
We are big fans of those things. That was a very, very Maximus type of styling work. So shout out to the stylists putting that on trend. I think we're about to see a lot more other men try that.
Yeah, that was fire.
Obviously, your boy's already been doing that, already been trying it with that. So, you know, we're doing ourselves in that department.
Who? Yeah, who's our boy? Pharrell?
No, I was talking about me.
Oh, you know who had a look that you're not going to like this, that did remind me of EP was, God, I don't even want to say this, but I am going to say it, was D-Wade. His jacket and shirt reminded me of EP. I was like, I wonder where he got that from. Did you see it, though? It was kind of like, it was very streamlined. Like
I saw it.
I was like, this reminds me of Crocs.
I saw it. But we're going to change the subject because you tried to say that. Like, could have been the same basketball with Dwayne Wade. Anyways, with the conversation of the intersection of basketball and fashion, you know who was there unexpectedly, who we can see here, but not on the basketball court. But actually, he came to play last night. He just wasn't playing on the basketball court.
Yeah, that's why I don't want to hear about it. I mean, the thing that's special about the Met Gala is like all of these people are active in their industry and their fields. And the fact that you not, it's so, the irony of his look is just like crazy. Like, you can't make this shit up. You have a clock on it, and it's like, bro, you don't ever play. Like, you don't ever have the time.
Ever play.
You never play. You get no playing time. And it's not even because they don't want to play you. It's like, you don't get playing time because you don't want to play. And the irony of you to show up at the Met Gala with a clock on your handbag is fucking, I mean, come on. Oh, it doesn't get any more ironic than that.
You look cute.
Yeah. She got a game tonight. I don't know.
It's very ironic, and it's, you know, you made the point. You know, I don't think the listeners know what we're talking about. We're talking about Ben Simmons, who was wearing Tom Brown. Honestly.
That was nice.
It was a fit. He looked good. Like, it was a fit. But, you know, us speaking as basketball fans and critical basketball fans, we didn't like it.
Yeah, I mean, like what about basketball enthusiasts?
To your point of you're a culturally relevant in whatever industry you're in to go to this event, you shouldn't be allowed to come if you're not culturally relevant. And he's not culturally relevant.
He's relevant. You just got to be an active participant in your field.
Ben Simmons. Rockets. Next pick.
No, we do not want that.
We got the number one pick. We got their pick. Okay. So he's going to get the Rockets.
Okay. That's fine too.
Sunday. We gonna get it.
But Ben Simmons being there was a joke. That's kind of what that is. That's what it looked like.
Yeah, he's
honestly like he looked kind of more lame, even though he looked good. But even I think internally, even though I haven't talked to anybody in the league about this or their thoughts, if they're in the playoffs, they're focused on this stuff. If they're not in the playoffs, they probably don't give a shit. But internally, it looked kind of lame that he's there. He's only played, in a matter of, 3 years, 50-something, 60-odd games, been averaging probably, 6.5 points the past two seasons.
We can look it up. Google is our friend.
It's pretty absurd that he was even in the building.
Let's see.
It's pretty absurd. But I'm not gonna lie. Like, I mean, if you... Tom Brown, you know who I blame this on? I blame this on Tom Brown. That's who I really put the blame on. For not knowing any better and not doing the proper research about your athletes or your brand ambassadors to know that this man is not relevant right now. He should not have been invited. He should have stayed. Honestly, he should have stayed with Russell Westbrook. He fresh out the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to choose anybody who's from the league, who's active, I would say Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is more, like you said, relevant. More active.
Ben Simmons
is almost like
he hooping. He was in the playoffs.
Like, are we trying to be ironic? Like, are we joking?
I mean, this kind of tells me this is the problem with, like, brands trying to use athletes is that, like, they're not choosing athletes that are performing in their area. Like, they're just choosing people who look good.
Yeah, they're basing it off the aesthetics, and it's not, like, comprehensive.
And it's like, you gotta have both. Yeah, like, that's what made Michael so amazing, is that he was doing it both. Like, now you're getting rewarded just because you look like who you look like. You don't have to perform to get into a Tom Brown, to get onto a Tom Brown table at the Met Gala. Like, that's crazy. That's crazy.
I agree. We're giving out participation trophies off aesthetics, and I don't condone that.
I don't condone it. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. Like I said, I mean, even though it'd been, I mean, we probably would have like roasted Russell Westbrook a little bit because he fresh out the playoffs. Like, he just ended it, what, it was like Sunday he got kicked out?
Yeah, we would have roasted him because whatever he would have had on, his look wouldn't have fit right. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, like, but also, I know he's been wearing Tom Brown in the past. Like, he already has a relationship with the brand. This is a new relationship with Ben Simmons. He's never wore Tom Brown. I've never seen him at any of the shows. Russell would kind of like, all right, that makes sense. And Shea, but Shea is doing his thing. Shea is working. Shea is playing. So that wouldn't make sense
busy.
For him.
He's right. He's in the office, exactly. Right?
Right. So, yeah, Ben Simmons being there was actually a bad move on Tom Brown's spot. Dude, like, that wasn't a good one to choose. Yeah, I would have chosen, like,
Darren. I would much rather chose LeBron, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I don't think LeBron's ever been to a Met Gala.
That would have been great. That would have been a great thing. That would have been a really strategically.
That would have been dope.
Good thing for him.
Well, to LeBron's point, like, he doesn't have time to go to the gala because he's always deep in the playoffs, historically.
Not this year.
Not this year. I mean, but if LeBron pulled up to the Met Gala, everyone would have been like, what the fuck are you doing, nigga? Are you serious?
That would have been great to see him pull up to the Met Gala.
Honestly, I would have really liked
it. In the same fit, too, because you know what I would have said? Yeah, nigga, it's time. It's time for you to retire, nigga.
Well, he couldn't do it. He's signed to a Louis Vuitton contract right now, so he probably couldn't have did Tom Brown. But I was actually kind of surprised Louis Vuitton didn't have any ambassadors there. Maybe I need to kind of go through the list, but I don't remember seeing any Louis Vuitton ambassadors or people at the gala last night. So that was interesting. But note that one, especially with Pharrell being at the helm and, you know.
Yeah, you would have thought he would have sent somebody.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. The way they had a deep bag on the red carpet, that was one brand that had a lot of people there. They did Anna Wintour's jacket. They did the Challenger co-stars. So, yeah, the way it was pretty deep. And like we mentioned, Willie Chavarria. I hope we're saying that right, because we really got to do better. But, yeah. So, since we're segueing from basketball into this, we have gotten through the first round of playoffs. We are in the second round, starting the first games between yesterday and tonight.
Second game, really?
Second game for some, first game for some tonight. But who's playing tonight? Boston and Cleveland played just now. Boston had the first win. The Mavs and the Thunder are playing tonight. Minnesota and Denver. Minnesota has handed Denver two L's, surprisingly, shockingly. I think two crazy things has happened the past 6 weeks is that the ascendance of Anthony Edwards and the Kendrick and Drake beef have taken over cultural headlines. So, yeah, the playoffs have been pretty okay. A lot of blowouts. It's been a lot of blowouts still.
A lot of sleeper teams that have more or less come of age. The Timberwolves are like the new favorite, the new front runner for the NBA, the champions this year.
Well, I wouldn't still. Well, I think to that point, I think we're going to have to start viewing the playoffs differently. In that, like, maybe
it's more madness-y, right?
Yeah, maybe experience isn't such a big factor anymore, because remember last year Sacramento was the sleeper, and everyone thought they were going to take the next step this year. But you know, OKC came through and blew it up. Minnesota's blowing it up. And I think we might have to view the playoffs differently now, and that experience isn't as a pivotal component to winning the playoffs anymore. I think it's, you know, these young guys are just, they're ready now. They want it now.
I agree.
I think a Minnesota OKC Western Conference Finals would be incredible. Like, we get to see Shea and Anthony Edwards. That's a duel that's really going to decide the future of the NBA, potentially, you know?
I just don't see – I don't see the Mavs losing. I see Probably. It being the Mavs. Wait, are the Mavs in the – are they on the other side of the bracket?
No, they're playing – Mavs and Thunder are playing, yeah. If the Mavs win, they'll play the winner of Minnesota and Denver.
So that's the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, and to your point – the way Kyrie is playing is just absolutely beautiful.
Hey, man. I might have to walk back some of the things that I said about it.
Don't walk it back. It's what you meant, because this is what we've been wanting to see from him. This is why the things we said is because we were missing out on this performance of a performer. Just like the in-betweens, he's just doing stuff that you don't ever see on a basketball court. Just the creativity, the imagination, it's just beautiful to watch. And to our point about Ben Simmons, granted, he ain't nothing like Kyrie. Nothing like Kyrie, but Kyrie wasn't playing. This is why we felt like we were being deprived of a basketball savant that we deserved to have on the court to watch.
Yeah, we were being deprived of a basketball genius. That's true.
That's what we're being deprived of. And the fact that he's been playing like this just makes me so happy. Like he's not taking anything for granted. And also he's playing defense, man. He's guarding James Harden full, like, 90 feet, like denying the ball. I've never seen Kyrie play defense like this.
I feel like he's rediscovered his passion for the game. I feel like coming to Dallas and like kind of resetting his implementation into a team setting. I think the chemistry he's like rediscovered with Luka has like reinvigorated his passion for hooping again.
Yeah.
And I think he's found that balance between like having that autonomy from an ideological standpoint, right? Of trying to redefine himself like outside the scope of being an athlete. But like, what does he stand for as a person, right? What is his message? What's his voice? Where's his stance at as a human being? And I think he kind of struggled with that for a little bit. With the whole vaccine thing and the black Israelite thing, and like, I just think he was trying to find what his voice was, that transcended like his perception of himself as an athlete. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
No, I'm trying to see himself outside of like just a jock, and I think him wanting to be more kind of, you know, lended to some messaging that was just delivered, just, you know, not the most strategic way. And it may have rubbed people the wrong way, but I think he's kind of like rediscovered like that. And I think that's kind of giving him the confidence to say like, all right, you kind of figured that out. All right, now it's time to really show people like you are who you say you are again. You know what I'm saying?
And he's also thinking about his legacy. What's he going to be known for? He's at that age where you guys start thinking about, I'm only going to be in this league for about 3-4 more years, tops maybe, give or take. And I got to look at, I got to play the game the right way. I think he's thinking, like, I got to play the game in an intentional way, in the most way to kind of get, in the most out of, like, get the most out of my teammates. You know, he's, I've never seen him look like a teammate like that. It looks like the, this teammates want, like, you're genuinely rooting for him. You know, like, when he hit that baseline jumper in game six, like, yeah, with the Cavs, like, it seemed like he had good relationships, but it seemed like they were very, very, like, enthusiastic about his, that move that he did on PJ Tucker. So it's special to watch. I'm really liking the way he plays right now on the defensive end, and being intentional when he scores and when he's not scoring and what part of the game he wants to be aggressive and not. It's been very, he's to me, like, outside of Ant, he's been the best player for me to watch. He's been my favorite player to watch outside of Ant.
I agree. Ant is probably first. Kyrie would be a second, and then maybe Luka would be third.
Yeah. And then Jalen Brunson, of course.
Yeah, he's he gives me an ode to also to like the old like throwback guards, like all like the Jameer Nelsons and like the Delonte Wests, like
yeah,
just being able to be undersized and still having the skills and the pace to get to your spot and just knowing lefty how to shot off.
Any lefty gang over there?
I mean, lefty is just lefty is unguarded. It's just almost impossible to guard.
Fucking hate y'all.
It is what it is, man.
It's so annoying. Just have a very like shirky jerky. Y'all call it shifty, but it just looks ugly. Wait a way y'all move about yourselves.
Yikes.
It's very annoying.
You sound bitter, man.
No, y'all all play the same. It's just like whatever, but y'all kind of play the same, especially the smaller guards. Like shirky jerky. I get it. Whatever. It is what it is.
Yikes. Sounds mad, y'all.
And then when it's an ugly jumper, it's an ugly jumper. Like when it
yeah, but when it's pretty, it's nice. It looks nice. It just look. It looks like it's in a mirror because it's backwards.
It's just very unorthodox. It just looks like what it's when it be hanging. Like sometimes when they like some of them be having their elbows all out. And just like when y'all have it in, but it just always has this chicken wing. Y'all always have like a weird chicken wing.
I don't have a chicken wing. My form is great.
You're
very
cool.
Fluid form.
Yours is cool. Isaiah Thomas is cool. Jalen Brunson is cool. Like, but I'm
Damon Stoudemire had a nice form.
Damon Stoudemire is cool, but then like you got some that just like it just looks really bad. It's like the left-handed version of Travis Scott's jump shot. It looks like a bad saxophone.
Wow, dog! Now you take like, shots.
I mean.
Now you're taking shots, dog. Now you're trying to be disrespectful, dog.
We're just keeping it basketball, but like I can say it. I'll give Travis Scott a lot of buckets. But yeah, this looks bad. This is like a bad instrument that just got broken. Whatever, I'm gonna get off. I'm gonna let y'all live.
The only person who got really an ugly jumper as a lefty is Manu Ginobili for real. Like his is ugly.
He does, but that's actually...
He's got an ugly jump shot.
It's funny. It's very set, too. It's like...
And yeah, I think you also thinking of, like, people like... So, like, Tayshaun Prince's left hand.
Oh, my gosh. The worst.
He had an ugly jump shot.
Oh, and he barely
Jalen
got
Rose
off the ground.
Didn't have the prettiest jump shot.
He Michael was a Redd. Michael Redd didn't have a...
Michael Redd had a weird-looking jump shot.
Slingshot, but he had a cannon. And it
yeah, it was
always,
a sling. He did have a slingshot.
He had a slingshot. Oh, I hated that jumper, too. And he had the release. His release was, like, so exaggerated in the cookie jar. It was just like, the wrist was just like this, you know?
Derek Fisher had a ugly slingshot jump
he
shot.
Yeah, ugly
his
slingshot.
His was, like, on the shoulder.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. It'd be so ugly when it's bad.
Yeah, but then there's guys like Katino Mobley who had him. He could shoot.
He did butter. But it was funny because he didn't get off the ground a lot either, but it just kind of, I think it was because of his height. He didn't have like that. He wasn't very like lanky like Tayshaun Prince, but he had a smooth ass jumper. That's
about it. Yeah, he's a lefty.
Yeah, I remember. Oh, I know about Cat.
Yeah, he's nice. He was nice.
I know about Cat Mobley. He was smooth with it. Yeah, the playoffs have been going well. Okay. Also, Wimby was announced for Rookie of the Year. Most Improved Player, Maxey. We haven't got Coach of the Year yet. Obviously, we haven't got MVP. And I think, actually,
They're going to give it to Joker.
Well, I think that's for another show. We can go back to our predictions and then do, like, a compare and contrast of how much we were right. Actually, we might have to wait on the awards part.
Because I said it was going to be Giannis, so I was wrong in my assessment. I did say Giannis, so I was wrong.
Giannis might be a foot out the door out of Milwaukee.
I just hope. I can't wait until they get rid of the Nassus.
The Nassus.
The assest NBA player in the world.
Of all time, maybe?
Oh, my God. He might be worse than...
Who?
Tyrone Hill might be one of the worst NBA players I've ever seen.
Tyrone Hill was also one of the most repulsive players that ever played in the NBA, too.
He looked like somebody, but I ain't going to say who it is.
Do we know him?
It ain't a dude. It's a girl.
Do I know her?
I mean, you know who she is.
Does everyone know who she is?
Everybody knows who she is.
I'm very curious.
He looked like Just Hilarious. They look alike, dog. And I'm not even joking. Pull up a picture of them next to each other. Especially if she don't have her weave in, dog.
No, I see.
They look very similar, bro. I'm just saying.
All right.
Hey, well, don't shoot the messenger.
Nah, that's enough. That's enough.
I'm just saying.
That's enough.
If the shoe fits, lady.
That's enough. That was I think we could close out on that point. I think that's a good close out. That's a good close out moment. That was good.
Hey, man. Hey.
I'm here for the win. Second round of the playoffs. Please tune in to them. Met Gala was yesterday. G, you got any, sets coming up? Any new?
I'm going out of town next week. I'm going back to Columbus, Ohio to perform at a party. It's called Orange Soda. It's a nostalgic early 2000s. You know, that's like all the rave now.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going to do an early 2000s party back in my hometown of Columbus, Ohio. Shout out to D. Byrne. Shout out to my man B.I., Brian Otler, who reached out and booked me or scheduled me to play. So I appreciate that. And then I'll be back in Chicago 2 weeks after that.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
That's Memorial Day weekend?
Yep. I'll be back there.
Oh, you know. That's a holiday. We both might be back over there.
Oh,
you know?
Oh God,
it could be a problem.
Hey, we got a while. We can't be around Noel. We gotta make sure we ain't around nowhere around Noel.
Don't speak the names too much. You know, not everyone wants to be out in the streets. Not everyone wants to be out.
You're right.
Right. All right, well, yeah. Right. If you're in Columbus, Chicago, please hit one of us up. Let us know. Check out G and one of his sets. you know, if you're in Houston, please let me know. Pro Day weekend coming up. Summer's here, or spring's here. Summer's around the corner. And yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys. I'm Josh Pierre.
I'm Geronimo.
And we're Made You Look, so we'll holla at y'all.
Ace.